Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Welcome to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I am excited to talk to you about self-centered, centering one's self. What an exciting time. On this show, we are going to be talking about the benefits of being self-centered, why it's important to take care of yourself first and foremost, how to create a healthy balance so you can juggle your needs along with every other demand you have on your time. Seem impossible? I know. But happiness is essential for survival, so we have to find a way. So, it can be an uncomfortable subject, putting ourselves first. We've all heard it before. Don't be selfish. That person is self-centered. Look at him. He's all about himself. It's all about me. Many of us have been taught the order. God first, then children, then spouse, then your family, so on and so on and so on. But why is it that we continually come in dead last? And more importantly, why are we okay with that? What is your order? What is your life centered around? Have you thought about that lately? You're probably too busy taking care of everyone else. Some people are children-centered, and they live their life for their kids. All their plans they make for entertainment or achievement is centered around seeing their children happy and successful. They live vicariously through their children. Some people are spouse-centered. They do everything for and to please their partner. They feel responsible for their spouse's happiness or even unhappiness. They take on likes and hobbies of their spouses to create even more time to be together and attempt to please even more. Others are work-centered. Their job is the most important aspect of their life. Does that ring true with you? They get meaning from their career. At work, they feel appreciated, respected, and accomplished. They consider those they work with to be family. They take the weekends to rest and recharge just for another week at work. Then there are people that are service-centered. They give their lives to charity and to others. They sacrifice their own well-being in the name of contribution. They feel needed and worthy when they are given to others. They may even feel guilty about their own accomplishments when so many have so little. What does it even mean to take care of yourself and to make yourself a priority? How would you even go about doing that? That may be a place to start. For some, it may be a mystery, actually. Have you heard about Maslow? Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a motivational theory in psychology. It comprises 5-tier models of human needs. Simple enough, right? From the bottom of the hierarchy upwards, the needs are psychological, safety, love and belonging, esteem, and self-actualization. We're going to talk about those a little deeper. The needs lower down in that hierarchy have to be satisfied first before individuals can even move higher in the hierarchy. So, you can imagine a triangle, because that's how it is. So, we'll talk about what that looks like. At the bottom, the first two are basic needs. Remember, there's five. The first two are basic needs. One, the very bottom, is psychological needs. That's like food, water, warmth, rest. Basic need. The next one up is safety needs. Security, feeling safe, also a basic need. Next, we move into the third tier, which is part of the psychological needs, belongingness and love needs. That could be intimate relationships and friends. The next one up is also psychological. It's esteem needs, prestige, and feeling of accomplishment. And then the top one, self-fulfillment needs, that is self-actualization, achieving one's full potential, including creative activities. Okay? The five stages can be divided into deficiency needs and growth needs. That's another way to define them. So the first four levels are often referred to as deficiency needs. The top level is known as growth or being needs. Deficiency needs arise during deprivation and are said to motivate people when they're unmet. So it sounds interesting, but for example, the longer a person goes without food, the more hungry they become, right? So even though those needs become unmet, we're sort of motivated to get there. Also, the motivation to fulfill these needs will become stronger and stronger when they're unmet. Now, growth needs are totally different. They don't stem from a lack of something, but rather from a desire to grow as a person. Once these growth needs have been reasonably satisfied, you may be able to reach that highest level called self-actualization. Now, every person is capable of moving up the hierarchy towards that level. Unfortunately, progress is often disrupted by a failure to meet some of those lower basic needs. Remember, we're talking about taking care of yourself. And when those needs are unmet, you cannot move up. That could be, they could be disrupted from a lot of different things. Life experiences like divorce or a loss of a job, maybe death in the family. This could prevent a person from moving forward. And in fact, they would just sort of fluctuate between the different levels. Because of that, not everyone will move forward in a unidirectional manner, but they'll move back and forth. And they could, it could be just a constant struggle of going back and forth. Why is that? Why can't we just push forward and keep moving? If you haven't suffered any sort of life altering, then what is it? What could it be? What's causing that? Well, we're going to look at some misconceptions. We're going to maybe explain why this happens and why we feel that coming first is a bad thing. It could be that we think self-care means you're being selfish. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like when you put your own needs first, you're selfish? It's actually the opposite of being selfish. Even the airlines recognizes the fact that you can't assist someone else until you first take care of yourself. So take this as a sign and a good analogy for life. Self-care is an antidote to stress. Instead, it builds resilience so we can better cope with challenges that we have in life. It strengthens our core. I've talked about this a lot. I've used this visual before, and I want to use it tonight. It's so appropriate here. Imagine a tree with many branches. Each branch is an extension from the trunk, and each needs its own nutrient supply so it can be strong, so it can withstand wind and leaves and anything else that should take rest there. But if you are the trunk and your nutrients are depleted, imagine the health of your branches. Without proper supply, they'll wither, they'll bend, they'll break under pressure. We have to take care of ourselves. We could also confuse caring with rescuing. We often sacrifice our own self-care because we're so busy trying to save everyone else. This type of behavior can take up more time than you even realize and create more stress and heartache than you could possibly understand. trying to keep your plate spinning while you have your hands full of everyone else's problems is impossible. Now, I realize this is a shift in perspective, and if you're knee-deep in people-pleasing, it may be hard to wrap your head around it, but you aren't helping. You are controlling. People are supposed to fail. They're supposed to make mistakes, and they're supposed to pick themselves up and try again. This is how we learn. The best way to help is to be kind and supportive without interfering. There's a difference between providing support for someone who asks and taking it upon yourself to save somebody and make their life turn out a way that you think it should. Let's take a quick test on that. Being a people pleaser makes you feel good. It makes you feel liked. And you want to be liked, right? If you answered yes to those questions, you are exhibiting signs of being selfish, because everything I mentioned was about you and how it made you feel. It's not about you, right? If you have reservations about being selfish, that indicates that you actually aren't. Selfish people will not even take the time to question whether they're selfish or not. Your job is just to be you, honoring your needs that will support your core values. It doesn't mean you don't respect and consider others' feelings, but instead you're deciding to make a deliberate choice to take care of yourself first. Easy enough? Sounds easy. What are some of the other reasons we don't do it and we don't put ourselves first? Maybe we're accustomed to relationships based on neediness and not love. Building a life with someone doesn't mean your walls only stand because their support beams are attached. Each partner has to first have their own solid foundation to which to build. A loving, supportive relationship is more successful if each partner shoots for 50% of the responsibility. Yes, there are times where it shifts to 70-30 during trying seasons, but the goal should always be to create an equal partnership. Somewhere our views of relationships have changed, and we've created this need for survival. This can be a dangerous idea and a reason we put our own goals, dreams, and desires on hold. Instead of spending our every waking hour thinking about that other person and forgiving ourselves, we would be better served by focusing on ourselves. This way, we'll be able to give from a place of wholeness without expecting anything in return or feeling resentful. As Rollo May said, love is generally confused with dependence. But in point of fact, you can only love in portion to your capacity for independence. That's pretty deep. If we take care of ourselves, we are more independent, less needy, less wanting of getting attention or affection, and more capable of truly connecting with another human being. Taking care of ourselves first creates the foundation of the independence we need to be able to give to someone else. Maybe we don't realize how people treat us. We have to teach them that. How many times have you said, "I always attract this or that kind of person. Why do they always seem to find me?" Are they finding you, or are you seeking them? When you continually sacrifice your own need to serve others, you communicate this expectation. You're essentially allowing people to sign up for your 24-hour care. Who wouldn't find that appealing at first, right? This is the moment you need to uncover the why. Why do you feel important, validated, appreciated? There's a host of other words in there. To be needed to this degree. Why do you need that? What then happens when your love and support is taken for granted? How does that make you feel? You are in charge of setting the expectations and the healthy boundaries. What should those be? Where else could you find appreciation and validation? Where else other than another human being? Maybe we expect other people to take care of us. Are you expecting to be rescued when you finally have a need to be rescued? Does something like that cross your mind? Well, after I've done all of this for them, I deserve a little attention and respect. Are you giving so that you can get? Any investment advisor would tell you the returns won't add up if this is your thought process. When you give without being asked, the score is zero. Remember that. You are giving of your own free will, and you should be leaving that without expectations. It's hard to accept that we have chosen to give all of our love to them and keep none for ourselves, expecting them to fill a gap they couldn't fill because it was our own self-esteem that was missing. You're the one that set that expectation. Remember, your self-care is your responsibility, no one else's. I like to use this analogy, and I've used it before, but it just paints a good picture. Remember the person that plays all the bases, catches all the balls, makes all the plays, and then one day they want to take a break. They want somebody to take care of them, but nobody knows how. Why is that? Because you've been playing all the positions, and in a sense, you've enabled them not to have to step up to the plate. You're creating that gap. When you go back to 50%, you allow the other person to take 50% of the responsibility. So if you need a little self-care, you can take it and then you can give it. Maybe we don't realize our own worth. That's a big one. If we're confident in our love for ourselves and we treat ourselves as if we're worthy, then that's what we'll attract back. If you've suffered trauma or are unable to find forgiveness for some past actions, then this can be impossible. You aren't going to listen to me and wake up in love with yourself tomorrow. For some, it's going to need to be daily affirmations. First, find one thing you value about yourself. Now, you may have to dig deep, but you can find one thing that you can anchor your foundation to. Then you can expand on that one thing, find its many branches, and then find one more thing. You may stay on these two for a while as you start to learn more about yourself, and that's okay. You have two things, and you can explore others based on those. Remember, this doesn't have to be a characteristic that wins someone a Nobel Peace Prize, right? It's just one thing that you value about yourself. Let's start with our emotions. How do you feel? How often do you even stop and feel? Sure, we feel rushed, we feel overwhelmed, we feel sad, happy about this or that, maybe concerned or worried for a friend, but how do we feel about us? For someone that's been concerned with everyone else's comfort, this can be an impossible question. This may be your first step, a place to start. You can't take care of yourself if you can't even identify your own needs. Putting yourself first can be as easy as doing a mental check-in to see how you're feeling about a situation before you act. So before you stop to consider everyone else's feelings, consider your own. I read an article by Dr. Janice Webb. She is a clinical psychologist and author. And the article was explaining childhood emotional neglect. It's called CEN, childhood emotional neglect. This can happen when a parent fails to respond enough to their child's emotional needs while they're growing up. She says emotional neglect can be incredibly subtle, when it happens in your childhood, but it can have a hangover effect like a cloud as you become an adult. It can really create a lot of unhappiness. It can disrupt your health, your personal life, your relationships, and even your career in silent and invisible ways. If you've been emotionally neglected as a child, you may tend to mislabel this unhappiness as something else, like depression or anger or anxiety or marital problems. That's just to name a few of those. But growing up without enough emotional nurturing can be the root cause of some of these problems. Scores of research studies have shown that we all naturally grow up and treat ourselves in adulthood the way we were treated as children. You are literally raised to under-focus your own needs and over-focus on someone else's needs. I mean, that's the way we are. Be quiet. Children should be seen and not heard. I mean, we've all heard this growing up. How can you know what you want, what you need, when you need help, if you're not paying attention to yourself? How can you feel that it's okay to assert your needs when all the signals in your childhood train you to keep them quiet? The good news is that once you become aware of this unseen force from your childhood, you can take charge of it. You can actually reparent yourself, which is kind of cool. You can heal it yourself by start putting yourself first. A couple of steps to do that. Learn to say no. I've said this so many times. The people in your life have learned that you will be there for them because that's what you always do. Being a generous, compassionate person is wonderful, but sacrificing yourself too much by always saying yes to things depletes your time and your energy. Remember this simple guideline. Anyone has the right to ask you for anything, and you have the equal right to say no without giving a reason. Say no when you need to, free of guilt, free of discomfort, is a vital building block for your foundation of self-care. Saying no. Can you believe it's that easy? Just saying no can give you so much freedom. I know many of you hate confrontation, and I do too. I'm definitely one of those people that try to think of an excuse. It just comes off the cuff before I even say something to someone because I don't want to hurt their feelings. Is that you? Are you that kind of person? Wouldn't it be great if we could just say no without any shame or any guilt? Why don't you try it? Just try it. You can preempt it with, gosh, I really would love to do that, but I'm just not going to be available, or I'm not able, or I just can't make that. Very simple way. Then leave it there. Don't say another thing, right? That's just a couple of ways to put yourself first. What about asking for help? You might internalize your parents' message, don't have feelings, don't show feelings, don't need anything from anyone. If it's hard for you to say no to others, it's probably equally hard for you to ask for help, right? Or a favor. How many people do you know like that? You almost have to just do it. If you say, let me know if you need anything, you know you'll never hear from them. And you're probably that same person too. To free yourself from this difficult bind, all you have to do is accept the other people that they don't feel guilty. They're not uncomfortable. They will say no. You're the one with the hang up. As soon as you can join them, a new world will open up for you. What about discover your likes and dislikes? You may have difficulty knowing yourself, perhaps because your needs were not considered often and you weren't invited to voice your own opinions about things. You may have certain areas where you know yourself well and others where you don't. If you've been focused outward for much of your life on other people, you may not be able to identify your likes from your dislikes. like types of people you like, or food or entertainment that you most enjoy, or even the style of clothes, hobbies, or future aspirations you might have. Your likes and dislikes are valid and important, so take the time to uncover them. Write them down. Get to know them so that you can easily recall them. Maybe prioritize your enjoyment. How about that? That's a way to put yourself first. You may not have been able to make choices that brought you enjoyment. Maybe you had to go along with the crowd. Or if your family was scrambling for resources, perhaps there wasn't enough money for fun things. This last idea incorporates the first three we talked about. In order to put a higher priority on your own enjoyment, you have to say no to requests that might pull you far away from what you want to do. You have to ask for help so that you feel supportive enough and connected enough and you feel comfortable. And you need to know what you like so that you can go out and you can seek it. Think of one activity you'd like to pursue. And then follow up by asking someone to join you. Have more pleasure and connection in your life. This will make you a happier person. You know, a growing number of studies show self-compassion, self-love, rather than self-esteem, may be the key to unlocking your potential for greatness. Isn't that awesome? Researchers have linked self-love to a whole new slew of benefits, including greater life satisfaction, increased happiness, greater resilience, optimism, and less anxiety and depression. People with more self-love have been shown to be able to overcome difficult life events with more ease and have improved problem-solving abilities and decreased procrastination. Now, you know we can all use that, right? So self-love, I know it seems cliche and we hear it all the time, to practice self-love, keep calm, carry on, all of those good things. But there is really so much to that. But taking care of you is a balance. I'm not advocating going solo and shutting out the world. Even though a woman I met this weekend said, "Self and I are best friends. We go everywhere together. We like all the same things and we never fight." I loved that. There's something to there. More of us need to adopt that. Being besties with yourself is a great way to learn what you like and what's important to you. Then, when you're ready, you can widen your circle and double with a couple of friends, right? Is your life balance out of whack? You know, we're talking about getting balance. I know you can't stop taking care of the ones that you love. I'm only asking you to introduce more self-care and self-love. What are you doing to shift the scales if they are out of balance? One way is by creating a healthy balance of joy. Love, friendship, relaxation, success, and spirituality. Right? Doesn't that sound like a healthy balance? Well, love. Let's talk about that. Giving and receiving love from another human being. That could be family, friends, children, spouses, significant others. Having someone in your life that you're truly connected with, heart, mind, body, and spirit. Joy is about being with people who are glad to be with you. So let them into your life. Share your fears, your concerns, your dreams, your aspirations. Share them so you can have a deeper connection. Friendship. Positive and healthy interactions with other people. People who connect with you on multiple levels, who share your passions, support your goals, celebrate your successes, and comfort your losses. True, meaningful friends, as well as acquaintances. You need them all. You should adopt a variety to get a sense of differing opinions. People who challenge your beliefs or get you out of your comfort zone. Embrace them all. People need people. Relaxation. This is another healthy dose of joy. Quiet time, plenty of sleep, and a healthy diet. taking time away from the pressures of life to renew your soul. Embrace being quiet. Use your mind to think or wonder, dream, plan. These days, we are so quick to grab a device or turn on the TV. Instead, allow your mind to drift and just relax. Build alone time into your schedule. If you're busy because you keep your schedule close and everything worked in, take 30 minutes. Schedule yourself 30 minutes. Give that to yourself. Maybe you do that in the morning to help you wake up and start your day, or maybe you do it before you go to sleep. Maybe it's a midday break. Success. You need to have a healthy dose of success. Setting goals both personally and professionally, and then celebrating achievements. Receiving appreciation for tasks well done. Taking personal satisfaction from making an impact. Success is subjective, so we aren't going to define that here and what it should mean to you. The idea is to set a goal, any goal, and then take the steps to achieve it. Many goals keep you on track, and they support you with gratification. So take a big goal and break it into mini goals. Today it might be to make a phone call you've been dreading or finish your taxes. Tomorrow it could be to update your resume and look for a new job. Whatever it is, write it down. Cross it off. You've achieved it. Spirituality. Find time for gratitude. Whatever your religious or non-religious practice may be, start your day appreciating what you have and that you have the opportunity to achieve more. Remember that the mind, the body, and the spirit are all connected, and you should balance your life accordingly. If your body's exhausted and you're not getting proper nutrition, you probably won't be able to effectively engage in any spiritual practices. Take care of yourself in all three realms and reap the benefits of being more connected to your higher power, your true self, and those around you. Now, I had a listener write in. I definitely want to read what she has on the subject. I do encourage you to get in touch with me on Facebook. I would love a chance to incorporate your ideas into the show. So feel free to look up Kendall Boyson, Encouragementology, and follow me on Facebook. Get some great inspiration and also connect with me so we can share some ideas. Kristen from Anna says, "We reap the life we sow. The things, relationships, our health, we nourish creates the life we enjoy, or not. We can't dictate or change others, so we should put our energies in nourishing ourselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I nourish myself by practicing love and gratitude in my everyday life. It makes me a happier person." I love that. Thank you, Kristen. This is the time in the show that I love to recap. We have been through so much, so let's quickly give us a rundown. We talked about taking care of ourselves and why we seem to think that's selfish, but I think we busted through some of that tonight, and we can see the benefits of actually centering our life around what's important. We talked about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and really satisfying those basic needs in order for us to move forward. So if you're wondering why you can't reach those top tiers and really see growth, it's because some of your basic needs are not being met. So I urge you to Google that, look that up, and so that you have those needs. It's a great little visual you can print out. We talked also about the fact that everyone has the potential to achieve that. So you're the only one holding yourself back. You can actually get to self-actualization. We also talked about some misconceptions of taking care of yourself. Maybe why we think it's so hard. We talked about finding out how we feel. We don't always ask ourselves that question. We're not always in touch with how we feel because we're so concerned with how everyone else feels. Maybe explore what you feel like. Take that little gut check before you answer for someone else. Answer for yourself. We also talked about the childhood emotional neglect, CEN, and how subtly that can creep up on us and how it can manifest into our lives. What we can do to put ourselves first, different practices to really be mindful about what we're doing, take responsibility for what we're doing, and ways to find a healthy balance of joy. Remember those healthy balance? Love, friendship, relaxation, success, spirituality. Where are you falling short on that list? Is there one that stands out more? Is there one that's depleted that you might need to put a little bit of extra energy into? For my coaching clients, I tend to spend some time on the life circle because sometimes they can come to me with what they feel is the main area of concern. And after we look at those different areas of what's going on in their life and they rank them from 1 to 10, then they find out that actually they've got a couple that might be depleted. And as we just learned from the hierarchy list, you have to satisfy and kind of fill yourself up in those other levels before you can achieve some different goals. So that's really, really important. So take a look at those things. Maybe rank them 1 to 10. Love, friendship, relaxation, success, spirituality. How are you doing in those departments? Dr. Leon Seltzer looked at the word selfish and found an abundance of negative terms like egocentric, egotistical, mean, self-centered, self-indulgent. And then he hyphenated self and ish. Put a hyphen between self and ish, which radically changed the meaning. So among the meanings for ish are having the characteristics of, belonging to, or concerned with. If you're the center of your universe, after all, who else could possibly be a better candidate for that job? Is it not fitting that your very orientation toward life ought to have a certain self-interested focus, right? That your primary concern should be you. If you're going to take complete responsibility for your thoughts and feelings, wants and needs, you're going to strive to reach your full potential, it makes perfect sense to make yourself your highest priority, to focus your time and energy on advancing your own welfare. So, I challenge you, let go of limiting beliefs that say taking care of yourself is selfish. Let go of that. Instead, spend some time learning what makes you happy, healthy, and fulfilled. Set aside time to focus on you, your wants, your needs, and your desires. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Someone threw her into the past was clear.